Galatians chapter 3 then, starting to read at verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How do we decide what is true and what is not true when it comes to matters of faith and practice? I could stand up the front here and say this morning that in order to be saved, you need to give to the Mark Drury Ski Fund, or that you need to be baptized in the Baptist way. But that wouldn't be very helpful at all. And I'm quite confident if I did say that, I wouldn't be standing up here again. How do we decide? Well, we decide by going to the Bible, believing it to be the Word of God. The Bible is our authority in all matters of faith and practice. Now, of course, it becomes very difficult to argue with people and settle matters when they don't believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and therefore authoritative. And want to argue from their own experience or ideas or perhaps church tradition. But if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then we can turn to it and endeavor to determine what is right and what is wrong. As a local church, we're seeking to base everything that we do on the Bible. And when I'm preaching on a Sunday morning like this, I want you to be like the Bereans, who, when they heard the apostle preaching, searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying was correct. In other words, don't just take my word for it. Have your Bible open. Read it. Search it. See if what is being said really is the truth. Now, here in this letter, the Apostle Paul is seeking to set out his teaching on justification by faith. This idea that we are forgiven and declared righteous by trusting in the Lord Jesus and not by observing the law. The Apostle Paul felt the need to do this because there were these Judaizers who kept on saying to those in the church that faith in Jesus Christ wasn't enough, and that one needed to add circumcision and the keeping of the law of Moses to faith. Now, one thing that can be seen from these verses that we're going to look at this morning is this, that the Apostle Paul endeavored to root his teaching in the Old Testament scriptures. Just so that you are aware, we're going to be focusing on verses 6 to 9 of Galatians and chapter 3. Paul's teaching, you see, on justification by faith was in line with the teaching of the Old Testament. It wasn't something then entirely new. And this would have been a really good approach, especially when addressing the Judaizers, because these men would have been committed to the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. Well, in these verses, Paul endeavors to impress upon all his readers, that includes us this morning, two things. Firstly, Abraham, that great saint of old, Abraham was justified by faith in Jesus. Now, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, in order to learn about Abraham. Abraham was the great patriarch of the people of Israel, and he was looked up to and held in high esteem by all of the Jews. Now, the question this morning is this: how was this man declared righteous in God's sight? Was it by means of circumcision? Was it by means of observing the law of Moses? Well, the answer to both these questions is no. The teaching of the Old Testament is that Abraham was declared righteous by faith, and that this declaration of God was made before Abraham was circumcised and a long time before the law of Moses was even given. Let me tell you the story. Abraham was an old man, 75 years of age. His wife was old too, and he did not have an heir. But one day, God took him outside and invited him to look up into the sky to observe all of the stars. Of course, when you're living during a time when there are no street lights, you can see a lot more stars than you can see when you're living near to London. And God said to Abraham, "So shall your offspring be." In other words, your offspring will be like the number of stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. There will be so many that it's impossible to count them all. And we read that Abraham believed God, the promise of God, even though he and his wife were old. And we go on to read that God credited it to him as righteousness. In other words, at that moment, at the moment that he believed, that he exercised faith in the promise of God, God declared him a sinner to be righteous. Now, someone might say to me this morning, "I thought faith in Jesus was necessary for salvation." In fact, Mark, you're always going on about how we cannot be saved apart from Jesus. You're always telling us that we need to trust in him and in no one and nothing else. Yet this morning you're pointing to an Old Testament passage that tells us that Abraham was saved or justified or declared righteous by trusting in a promise of God regarding him having lots of offspring. Well, it could sound a bit like that, couldn't it? But I want to emphasize that this promise that was given to Abraham had Jesus bound up with it. In the book of Genesis, we find this promise given to Abraham, not only reiterated, but also expanded upon as the story of Abraham unfolds. And as the story unfolds, it becomes clear that this promise given to Abraham involved the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18 to you. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Well, we've already heard this promise given to Abraham. He believed and was declared righteous as a result. But as I say, the promise not only gets reiterated, it gets expanded upon. And so we go on to read in Genesis 22, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring or through your seed, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And if you look at verse 8 of Galatians and chapter 3, you will see the last part of this promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis and chapter 22. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. That is through your seed. Now who is the seed of Abraham? Who is the offspring of Abraham? Well, it's the Lord Jesus. Through the seed of Abraham, through the Lord Jesus Christ, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, that is, saved or justified. The tendency, I think, sometimes is to think that the Old Testament saints like Abraham just had some kind of faith in God and that they didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus, but they did know something at least about the Lord Jesus. Now Abraham may not have understood all that you and I know about the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't mean that he didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus. In fact, the New Testament tells us that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of Jesus coming into the world. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8 and verse 56. Your father Abraham, Jesus is talking to Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. We're blessed in that we live post-life, death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're blessed in that we have the New Testament and that we can read all about the Lord Jesus and what he achieved. Abraham didn't have the New Testament. But that doesn't mean that he didn't see from a distance. It doesn't mean that he didn't see from afar. He did. He saw the day of Jesus and he rejoiced. So then, by way of summary, the Old Testament taught that Abraham was justified through faith in Jesus and not by means of circumcision or the deeds of the law. And what we see here in these verses is Paul's teaching on justification by faith rooted in the Old Testament scriptures. Let me stop this morning and just ask the question, have you got this teaching on justification by faith cemented in your minds? Are you clear about it? Are you living in the light of it? Are you rejoicing in it. You see, my concern is always that there might be some that worship here regularly on a Sunday that are still trusting in their own endeavours to do the things of God in order to be saved. Their endeavours to keep God's ways, God's laws, and so on and so forth. My concern is that folk are endeavouring to establish their own righteousness before God. But let me remind us again this week that the Bible clearly says that our own good works, our own righteousness before the Lord is as filthy rags. We need a righteousness to come to us from outside of ourselves. We need a righteousness to be granted to us, given to us, credited to us from outside of ourselves. We need the righteousness of God, which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need it just as much as Abraham needed it in days of old. So that's the first thing to say. Abraham was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The second thing to say this morning is this, that justification of the Gentiles by faith was taught in the Old Testament. I still think that there are some today who think that if they're going to preach the gospel, then they must do it from the New Testament. Because the gospel, they argue, cannot be preached from the Old Testament. They argue that if you go to the Old Testament, all you read about is God the judge, God the God of wrath, God the God of law. But actually, that's an unfair thing to say. The gospel is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The only real difference is that the gospel is more explicit. It's more fully explained and revealed to us in the New Testament. The trouble with many Jews was that they thought that God was only really interested in them. That they were his chosen people, and anybody outside of their particular race amounted to an enemy of God and deserving of God's judgment and condemnation. And if anybody was going to be saved and made a part of God's people, well, then they had to be circumcised and place themselves under the law of Moses. But look at what we read here in Galatians and chapter 3. The scripture foresaw that God would justify or save the Gentiles by faith and make them a part of his family. Not by means of circumcision or observance to the law of Moses. Verse 8, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. These Judaizers needed to understand that circumcision of the flesh would do no one any good, and that no one could be saved or justified by keeping the law. They needed to have impressed upon them the need to solely trust in the Lord Jesus, to be found in a right standing before God. Look at verse 7 with me, will you, for a moment. In this verse, Paul speaks once again of Abraham. Now it's clear from the New Testament, indeed from the scripture at large, that being a child of Abraham is a must. You and I must be sons and daughters of Abraham. You see, it's all those who belong to Abraham's family that are blessed, that are saved, that are justified. But having said that, look at verse 7. Understand then that those who believe are the children of Abraham. Do you remember that during the days when Jesus was walking on the earth, there were Jews that kept on boasting that they were children of Abraham? Well, they were natural descendants of Abraham, but actually they weren't true sons and daughters of Abraham. Actually, these are Jesus' words. They were children of the devil. Let me remind you of the conversation. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protest. But they were illegitimate children because though natural descendants of Abraham, they did not have the faith of Abraham. You see, the true children of Abraham are those who have the faith of Abraham. They are those who trust in the Lord Jesus. Actually, when we look at the Old Testament, we should recognize that there was always an Israel. There was always a people of God within Israel. In other words, there was always a people of faith amongst all the natural descendants of Abraham. In other words, in and amongst all the natural descendants of Abraham, there were always to be found those who had the faith of Abraham, and therefore true descendants of Abraham. I wonder this morning, do you have good connections? We all like to think, don't we, that we have good connections, and sometimes we just can't resist the temptation of name dropping. You know, the other day, whilst I was having a cup of tea with the Queen or Prince Charles or whoever it was, the only person's name that I can sometimes drop into a conversation is one that nobody knows and doesn't really seem to work. But do we have good connections? Are we connected to Abraham? Are we a part of the family of Abraham, and therefore a part of the family of God? Are we one of God's chosen people? Do we belong to this family that will be like the number of stars in the sky, or the number of grain on the seashore? I wonder this morning, can we sing that old children's hymn that I used to sing at Holiday Club? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Left arm, right arm, left leg, right leg. And so the song goes on. I used to like that one. To be a child of Abraham is to be a member of God's people. It is to be blessed. It is to be saved. It is to be justified. Verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Friends, God's intention from days of old was to save Jews and Gentiles through faith in Jesus. Circumcision and the giving of the law was not ever meant to be the means of salvation. Jesus was given to our world so that by putting our trust or our faith in him, we might be justified. Romans 3, verses 21 and 22. But now, apart from the law a righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. I read a story this week about a man who bought a Rolls Royce in England. And he decided that he would go on holiday to somewhere in Europe. And so he drove down to the coast, and put his nice new car on the ferry, and away he went. But at some point during his holiday, this nice new car broke down. Well, he phoned the people in England who had sold him the car, and it wasn't long before someone had made the long journey with all the right tools to fix his car. And he was able to enjoy the rest of his holiday. But throughout the rest of his holiday, he spent his time worrying about how much it was going to cost him. When he got back home, he contacted Rolls-Royce and asked how much it was going to cost. And they informed him that they had no record of any work being done on his car, and that as far as they were concerned, there was nothing to be paid. Friends, that's how God treats the person who simply trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation. He treats them as though they had never sinned. He treats them as not being guilty. He treats them as being positively righteous. He does so on the grounds of the Saviour's merits. I know sometimes people find Bible words difficult to understand. Words like justification and reconciliation and redemption and propitiation and all these kinds of words. But it's worth taking the time to learn not only the meaning of these words, but the truth, the wonderful truths that are conveyed by these words. Our only hope is the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word to us again this morning. And we pray that by the end of this letter we would be clear about justification by faith, if we're not already. And resting more in it, perhaps, than we already are. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.